Please be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Last night, at the great vigil of Easter, we waited in the dark to welcome the mystery of the resurrection, that greatest of miracles, which happens out of sight and beyond understanding. We marked it with the ringing of bells and the water of baptism and the celebration of the coming of the light, which can never be extinguished. But last night's celebration is the gift that time and tradition have given us to mark the miracle and proclaim the good news. It is a far cry from the vigil that those first followers of Jesus would have kept, those faithful, sorrowing friends who waited for the morning not so they could proclaim the resurrection, but so that they could prepare Jesus' body for his final burial and say their final goodbyes. Those first disciples had to wait the whole night, not in anticipation, but in dread. But even the longest of nights comes to an end. And with the dawn, Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, James's mother, and the other women collected their spices and headed out to perform their sad duty. Little did they know what was waiting for them. Little did they know they had gone to seek the living among the dead. Happily, they found messengers from God who gave them the good news. He is not here, but has risen. And who reminded them that Jesus himself had told them that this would happen. And then once reminded, the women remembered. And having remembered, they believed. And they went to tell the good news to the rest of the disciples. And yes, they had to see for themselves, but never mind them. Once reminded, the women remembered. Having remembered, they believed. Now, we may wonder at their need to be reminded. We know that Jesus was very clear about what would happen. But lest we get too pleased with ourselves, let's be honest about how often, even with the benefit of coming after Easter Sunday, we still seem to forget or doubt or distrust the resurrection. It is, after all, pretty unbelievable, this wild overturning of death in favor of life. Except, of course, that it is there to be seen all the time in all kinds of places if we just remember to look. Jesus taught us this, and not only by his own resurrection, but throughout his earthly ministry, over and over again in parables, through miracles of healing and feeding, by his example. Jesus pointed to the power of life over death, love over hate, truth over deceit, forgiveness over judgment. By raising Jesus from the grave, God simply underlined and bolded Jesus' point and made it impossible to ignore. Or at least, one would think it was impossible to ignore. Yet somehow we still manage it. Somehow we still forget or fall prey to despair or give in to selfishness, and so we begin to worry. We begin to worry that life is too fragile to be trustworthy, that love makes us too vulnerable to abuse, that truth will demand too much of us, and that forgiveness is weak and naive. And then out of that fear and worry and doubt comes temptation. Temptation to build bunkers and make rules and tell comfortable lies and harden our hearts. and reject the promise and the power of the resurrection. Which is why we need reminders, lots of them all the time, and why we need to train ourselves to notice them. More than that, we need to go hunting for them. The good news is, resurrection is in the very design of God's creation. So the reminders are there for us to find. Making sure it's still there? Yes, it is. How many of you noticed the one white crocus that has appeared in that little triangle of grass in front of the church? That crocus is the flowering of a great many bulbs planted not this past fall, the fall previously. We had given them up for dead. But there it is, just in time for my Easter sermon. One white crocus.
Hallelujah.
And while we're on the subject of the Sunday school, our Sunday school may well outgrow the Grace Room this year, offering us the beautiful resurrection challenge of how to support and love more children as they grow in faith. But reminders of the resurrection are not only for the young and the new. Last night, we were given the great gift of bearing witness to a baptism and to two affirmations of baptism. As three, let's say more mature members of our community, stepped forward in faith to publicly commit themselves to life in Christ. And some reminders are more personal. An unexpected phone call from an old friend, rekindling old joys and affections. The bittersweet privilege of sitting at the bedside of a loved one as they pass from this life to the next. The discovery of a new interest or ability and the satisfaction of increased skill and knowledge. Making up after a fight and finding new strength in the relationship and in yourself. And then there are reminders that are perhaps more tenuous feeling, less simple and obvious. But they are still reminders if we look at them. Think of efforts towards addressing climate change, resisting injustice, demanding an end to violence, insisting on inclusivity. All such efforts are reminders of the resurrection, even as we see the ways in which success is still on the horizon. But effort is alive, so much more alive than despair. And so it is a reminder of the resurrection. Moments of hope and resilience, acts of kindness and mercy, prophets of truth and justice, relationships of love and respect, each is a reminder of the resurrection. Notice them. Look for them. And then point them out to one another and celebrate them together. Not simply as beautiful good news in their own right, but as signs that point us towards the greatest good news of all. For like the women at the tomb, we all need to be reminded. So that, once reminded, we can remember. And then, having remembered, we can once again believe. Jesus is not in the tomb. He has risen. Life is trustworthy, and love is strength, and truth is freedom, and forgiveness is wisdom, and hope is alive. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.